Hechel Menachem presents A Tale of Two Souls, an ongoing lecture series on the Tanya by Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Jacobson. This is recording number 121 in this series entitled Instinctive Love, Transcendental Love, and Godly Love. How every type of love creates its own world. This class was recorded live at Hechel Menachem, Brooklyn, New York, during the winter of 57-61.
Due to the major blizzard we're experiencing now outdoors, it is certainly appropriate now to warm our hearts and our souls with the fire of the Alter Rebbe in the 44th chapter of Tanya. Now, I want to begin by sharing with you a story that takes us back to the year Tofresh Samach Gimel, 1903. The fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe, Reb Shalom Ber Schneerson, a grandson of the Tzemach Tzedek, who was a grandson of the Alter Rebbe. Reb Shalom Ber Schneerson passed away in 1920, Tofresh Pei, known as the Rebbe Rashab. In the year 1903, he traveled from Russia, from the white Russian city of Lubavitch to Vienna, and he spent there an entire winter. A good few months he was in Vienna, during which he frequently visited Sigmund Freud. Dr. Freud described him in a sentence. The story, the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Rebbe Rashab's son, related to the Rebbe who transcribed it in his own journals that were published recently. And Dr. Freud described him in a sentence. He said, in German, he says, "Sein Kopf begreift, was sein Herz kann nicht vertragen." His mind comprehends that which his heart cannot contain. And during that stay in Vienna, the fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe would come in each day to a Polish Eklois, which was a shul that belonged to Hasidim of Poland, who lived in Vienna and would daven there according to their style, etc. And he would daven there and he would learn there each day. He generally learned Gemara. And he also, particularly during that winter of 1903, he learned Shulchan Aruch Chayshin Mishpat, the section of Chayshin Mishpat that deals with civil law in Tur, in Beis Yosef, and Shulchan Aruch, the code of Jewish law that deals with business issues and Jewish civil law. That's what he would learn in that shul every single day for hours. Now, the people there did not know who he was. They didn't recognize him. And each the Rebbe was then, relatively speaking, a young man. He was 42 years old. So each day, the elders of the shul, the elder Polish Hasidim, would approach him and they would say, "Junger Mann, gib Tabak. Young man, give us a sniff of tobacco." Because the Rebbe had a box containing tobacco. How do you say it? They would ask him for snuff. Okay, I stand corrected. And each day they'd say, young man, gib tabak. Give us some snuff to enjoy. And the Rebbe would give it to them. And one day, one of the elder Hasidim approached him and tells him, "Junger Mann, was wird sein mit dir? Young man, what's going to become of you? A bissel heart. You're all in the mind. You need a little bit of emotions. You sit and you study and you learn and you contemplate, and it's obvious that you toil your mind. You maximize your mind. But what's going to be with your heart?" He says, "Abyssal hearts. A Jew needs to have emotions, fire, inspiration, a soul, enthusiasm. You know, you're cold, you're numb, you're apathetic, you're not alive, you're not vibrant." So the Rebbe Rashab tells him, "Nu, what's the solution for a man like me? How do I develop an emotional connection?" So he tells him, "Mirhaben Atayir and Sefer. We have here a very precious book that can put your heart on fire." So the Rebbe asks him, which book? He says, "The name of the book is Likutei Amorim. That's what a man like you has to begin studying." And he takes this elder chassid, the Polish chassid, takes out a Tanya and he shows it to him. So the Rebbe Rashab looks at the book and he says, "Yeah, a good sefer. It's a good book. Now, in a way, in a sense, this is one of the foundational ideas of the Alter Rebbe in this guter sefer, in this good book, that a heart filled with spiritual inspiration and emotional motivation, one needs not to invent or create. It's already pre-existing. As the Alter Rebbe put it many times, go take a look on your true self and you will discover a heart on fire towards godliness and spirituality. You don't have to invent a spiritual relationship or an emotional connection. You just need to recall and remember the real you. The you that exists beneath the superficial coverings. The you that runs far deeper than the artificial husks that exist in our life. Which sometimes emerges only at unique moments or at very real moments in our life. But the Alter Rebbe says, do not allow the husk to rob you away from your inner innate beauty. It's not fear. It's not fear to yourself. It's not fear to truth. It's just not fear and it can't work. And the Alter Rebbe insists that in every single Jew there is a untapped treasure of spirituality. An untapped treasure of love towards Hashem that he or she may be unaware of on their own and not conscious of. And our purpose and mission in life consists partially of tapping into it and revealing it. This has also been one of the primary messages of the 44th chapter in Tanya. But in a more detailed fashion, in this chapter, the Alter Rebbe introduces two unique flavors of love, two unique shades or dimensions of the innate love that every single Jew has in his or her soul, bequeathed to him from our patriarchs, our forefathers. The first one he defined is the love of nafshi yivisicha, the love of my soul craves you, longs for you. And the second one is the love of kibrade ishtadl, a child who yearns to help its father or a mother. The first love, he says, every human being is in love with his soul. Every human being loves his life. We love our consciousness. We love our spirit. We are in love with it. It's deeper than any other love. And when a person realizes that my true soul is not my ego and not my physical body and not even my psychological motor, but it's the godliness within me, so the Jew feels a very deep love towards Hashem. This is described by the prophet Yeshaya, Nafshi v'sicha balayla, my soul longed to you during the night. Motivating the Jew to jump out of bed and get reconnect himself, reacquaint himself with his soul, with his godliness that he hasn't experienced during the night. In this case, in this level of love, the Jew is looking for his own life. He's looking for his soul, but he's looking for his real soul. And he realizes that what is his real soul? Nafshi ha-mitis is the life of life, not ego, not materialism, not physicality, but godliness. A deeper love, the Alter Rebbe said, inherent in the Jew is when one becomes aware and emotionally aware of the fact that Hashem is our Father. A true child is ready to sacrifice everything he has for the sake of its father or its mother. This was the love experienced continuously in the heart of Moshe Rabbeinu. And he says, although, you know, who has the audacity to even address it as something relevant to every Jew, but Ephes Katseyu Veshemetz Mineyu, in his impeccable words, somewhat a particle, an iota of Moshe's kindness, of Moshe's light, he shares with all of the Jews eternally. This is the second level of love described in the beginning of 44. And now we will continue inside. We are up to Daf Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, page 125. Yes, five lines from the bottom. That's why I said the word shrew. Today's day and age, that's why today's day and age, I would say a more appropriate metaphor would be parents towards children who are ready to sacrifice their life for children. But the Raya Mehemna, the Zohar, which employs this metaphor, Raya Mehemna Parshas Kisetzi, describes it as the relationship of a child to parents. Now, right. No, that's true. That's true. I think today, however, it's even it's less appropriate because today, for some reason, either we discuss it or we experience it today, people have a lot of issues with their parents. Maybe it's just discussed more today. Where again, psychology is much more discussed today. But people have a lot of issues with their parents, fathers and mothers, etc. But the Zohar, I guess, is talking about an ideal relationship. The truth is, I should know, the Alter Rebbe writes in Likutei Torah and Parshas Gedoshim, in Likutei Torah somewhere, I think it's Parshas Gedoshim, that the physical relationship between a child and a physical child and parents doesn't really convey the nature of the cosmic or metaphysical relationship between the soul and Hashem. Because whereas in the physical metaphor, the child ultimately becomes detached from its parents. So there was a point in time when the child was totally one, united, and in absolute unison with its mother and even with its father at a certain stage in its history. But after its birth, it becomes a distinct entity, although connected but distinct. He says in a soul, that separation, that distinction doesn't exist. Or at least it doesn't exist in the same fashion. somewhat of it, if it exists, he discussed in chapter 2, the entire metaphor with the child and the father and the separation, but that separation doesn't exist, and therefore there is a much deeper kinship in the nimshal, in the spiritual element of the parable.
Yes. So if that's the case, ideally it should be there. It's the result of the Golas that it's not there.
Right. I do think that just as he talks about it in the spiritual element, that it's, we're soon going to see, it's very concealed. In the Zohar doesn't say, and the Alter Rebbe is not saying that this is the immediate emotional experience that every child has 24 hours a day towards its father or mother. But I think that even we sitting here can relate to the fact that maybe at certain points in our life, we have experienced a certain emotional experience towards our father and our mother that wasn't only positive, but that was overwhelmingly positive, and a certain energy overtook us in which we felt ready to give up everything we have for their sake. Maybe it can happen once in a lifetime. Or maybe if the husks or the dysfunction, or God forbid if there's abuse, run so deep, that potential feeling never emerges. And even where there's no dysfunction, but it's just a regular relationship, it maybe emerge once in a lifetime or three times in a lifetime. But that is already a revelation of something that's existing. The question is, we all have burdens and we have stress and we have cravings and we have the desire for our egos to exist, when it emerges, how it emerges. But the possibility for it, I think, we can relate to. Why didn't he choose a parent to a child rather than a child to a parent? I don't know. Hashem is the parent. You're saying since Hashem is the parent, so that's the appropriate parable because he's not the child. In other words, you can't. He's not our child. He's our parent. Okay, well, that explains it. That's a good point. So such a parable would not suit well with the concept we're trying to convey because it's not that type of relationship. So the Alter Rebbe continues. You hear what he's saying? You hear what he's saying? Here. Okay, so the Rebbe Rak. Ah, Kinesh Yair Al Kina Gezal of Yerachef. The mother eagle or the father eagle puts its son on its shoulder so that the arrow should penetrate it instead of the child. Yeah. I mean, the truth is in halacha, Tzemach Tzedek writes this. In halacha, a child is not obligated to sacrifice his life to save the life of a parent. Chayecha koidman. In other words, if there's a choice, he is not obligated halachically to give up his life so that the parent should live. He may do it. The Zohar talks about a child who does it, but the fact that Allah doesn't obligate it is significant. Even as far as an Aveda, if the Gemara says if two articles are lost, and one is your father's and one is yours, right, and you can only take home one, you can take home yours before his. Although there's Allah to respect your father and mother and so on and so forth. That's significant. So on this, the Tzemach Tzedek brings from the Alter Rebbe that here indeed there's a difference between the child-father model in the physical world and the child-father model as far as the Jew and Hashem. Because over there, it's ultimately, he's a distinct entity and he's detached from his source. And though this is his source, his origin, there are limitations in his responsibility towards him. Nonetheless, the concept still exists, even in a child-father relationship here, not as a halacha, but as something unique, as something noble, and thus desire employs it. Okay, but let's continue. Zog de Tanya Rak, however, Sha'arzu, this glow, this radiance, from Moshe Rabbeinu's soul to every single Jewish soul eternally, through which he gives the Jew the ability to experience Hashem emotionally as you experience your father and your mother. He bebchinas Hester vehelum gadol benefashas kol beis Yisrael. Is in a state of great obscurity and concealment in the souls of all of the Jewish people. It's very concealed. To experience this emotional connection to Hashem, you know, Hashem is my father, my mother. It's very concealed. It's extremely obscure. Reminds me the Mor Einayim. Reb Menachem Nochem of Chernobyl authored a book called the Mor Einayim. He was a very close friend of the Alter Rebbe, student of the Baal Shem Tov and of the Maggid. In yesterday's Parsha, in Parsha's Truma, he interprets the Pasuk in the end of the Chumash. Moshe Rabbeinu's Yahrzeit was just this past Friday, 2 days ago, on the seventh day of Adar. Torah says, V'lo yada ish es kvurasay ad hayoyim hazeh. No one knows Moshe's burial place till this day. So the Mor Einayim says, Moshe Rabbeinu's identity is buried in the depth of every single Jewish soul, but nobody knows where it is. Very few people manage to discover it. So that's what Alter Rebbe is saying. Moshe Rabbeinu's love is there, but lo yada ish es kvurasa yad hayoyim hazeh. To get to that burial place is very difficult. And Dr. Alter Rebbe, lahoitzi avzu hamesuteres me'ahelim v'aster el agilui. To bring forth this hidden law from its latency and concealment to a state of revelation, so that it will be manifest in his heart and his mind. He now goes back to quote the pasuk that served as the mission statement, or as the chief motto of the entire Tanya in the title page, the famous pasuk in Parashas Nitzavim. He says, "Loi nifleis, it's not hidden from you, v'loi rechayki, and it's not distant." Elakarev hadavar miyoid beficho v'vavch. Rather, it is very close to you. It is accessible to you in your mouth and in your heart. Now, he's quoting here Moshe Rabbeinu's statement to Parshas Nitzavim that this thing of Yiddishkeit, Torah, mitzvahs is not distant, it's not hidden, it's not in heaven, it's not across the sea, it's extremely accessible to you in your mouth and in your heart that you may perform it. But what would be the meaning of this pasuk in our context where we're talking about an emotional experience of love, that it's close to you in your mouth? We're not talking about Torah, mitzvahs, or Yiddishkeit, we're talking about a love experience. So the Alter Rebbe explains here that through the beficha you come to the bilvavcha. Through your mouth you can reach your heart. Zogad Alter Rebbe Dahainu, that is to say, it should be habitual with his tongue and his voice, which will arouse the intention of one's heart and one's mind. This is, I think, the first time in Tanya the Alter Rebbe introduces this mechanism. Now, it's interesting here, as he does often in his works, he employs a technical halachic term and uses it as a technique in spiritual elevation and transcendence. The halach in Tur and in Shulchan Aruch, in Erechayim Simen Samach Aleph, in Hilchus Kriyashma, which the Alter Rebbe also quotes in his Shulchan Aruch, is that the pasuk of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, wants to say with a loud voice, B'koil Ram, because Koil Ma'orir HaKavana, one's voice arouses one's inner intention, one's inner concentration. But here the Alter Rebbe uses it in a different context, that one should habitually talk about this. One should talk about this relationship, should talk about the love. And talking about it, when it's habitually on your tongue and on your mouth, it arouses one's intention in his heart and in his mind. This will arouse him to immerse his thought in the life of life. Ein Sof Baruch Hu, which is the endless one, blessed be Hashem. Ki hu avinu mamish amiti. For he is literally our true father. Umakir chayenu, and the source of our life. Ula oirir elav ha'ava ka'avas ha'ben alav. And to awaken our love for him, like the love of a son for his father. And when one accustoms himself to this continually, habit will become nature. Hergel Nasa Teva is a quote of Svarimir, quoted it in chapter 14 concerning another theme, a Beinoni attempting to become a tzaddik. But the source of it is from various books. I think the first one is a book called Shvilei Amuna. It was authored by a man named Reb Meir Aldavi, who lived approximately in the year 1350. And he writes this, Hergel Nasa Teva, you know, habit becomes nature. It's also in Pachad Yitzchak, and similar to this concept we also find in the Shal Sotshuvas of the Ramah, Reb Meir Yisraelish, and the response to Shal Sotshuvas of the Ramah Mipanu, Reb Nachem Azariah Fanu. This is already later years. They lived in the 1500s. But this is the concept of Hergel Nasa Teva. Habit becomes nature. What does the Alter Rebbe say? The first thing he says, you have to talk about it. When you stop talking about things, even if they exist somewhere, but they cease to exist for all practical purposes. He says, a Jew has to talk about it. And talking about it engages already our heart and engages our mind, and it affects it. My mother always tells me she grew up in communist Russia. So Stalin, you know, every month the communist regime had a new enemy and a former chief who had to be eradicated. And he said every month the history teachers would come into school and a few new pages they would have to tear out from the history books. You know, they asked why these people don't exist anymore. You know, you stop talking about people, so they never exist. So Alter Rebbe says, don't stop talking about this element. And when one talks about it, it already creates an effect in one's mind and one's heart. We immerse our thought in it. And he says, what do you should immerse your thought? Think really that he's our real father, Avinu Mamish, and the source of our life. And when one is accustomed to engage in conversation and in thought of this process, it becomes part of our nature. And this is the way how this love, which is deeply concealed and deeply buried, can ultimately emerge. In other words, the Alter Rebbe says the love is existing, pre-existing, but it remains concealed. And it should just emerge spontaneously and overtake you as highly, highly irregular. Love at first sight with Hashem is not going to happen. And you have to talk about the person, and you have to think about the person. I mean, just like in love in this world, there's very few people who experience real love at first sight. It's more in the novels than in our romantic fantasies than in reality. You have to meet a person and engage in one conversation and many conversations and think, and that relationship builds a connection, and a love is created. In this case, a love only has to be revealed. But the Alter Rebbe says, talk about it and think about it, and the feeling will be there. And here he asks a question. Even if it appears to him at first sight that it's an illusion, Now, this is a good question. Because, you see, the Tanya is always trying to, I don't know how to say this, trying to take us on a journey which is on a very narrow bridge, you can say. You know, in most religious institutions today, in most yeshivas, there's no real demand or no expectation or no motivation for young Jewish men, boys or girls, to experience godliness and spirituality in a real way. And in a way, you know, we play it safe that way. Don't take people into those realms. Let's stick to the technicalities, to deeds, to actions, to that which is very, very tangible. But Alter Rebbe and Tanya, it truly seeks to allow the Jew to experience true spirituality and to experience godliness and to experience holiness. A Torah and mitzvah should not just be a technical endeavor, but godliness should be very real. But on the other hand, whenever you engage in such an attempt, there is always the possibility of illusions, of fantasies, of hallucinations that don't really exist. So the Alter Rebbe says, this is what he says. You know, even if you're fearful that this is an illusion, the truth is you don't possess such a type of love towards Hashem. You're just talking about it, or you're thinking about it, and you're telling yourself that you're experiencing it, and this can be dangerous, it's unhealthy, it can be dysfunctional. Zogd Alter Rebbe, lo yachush, don't worry about it. Meyachar shu emes la mitay mitzad atzma bebchines avim esoteris. Because it is intrinsically the absolute truth by virtue of the hidden love existing within you. If we were talking about, you know, creating or arousing an emotion that I know does not exist in you, here one has to be very cautious and very careful. Because if you're defining an emotion based on something that's totally inconsistent with you, it can be unhealthy. But Alter Rebbe says, I can tell you 100% true that this exists within you. This is innate to your very character as a Jew. You are inspired by godliness. You are in love with Hashem. You have somewhere buried a feeling that He is my Father and He is my real source of life. It's innate. It's intrinsic to you even without you thinking about it or doing anything about it. Okay, it's true. That's true. That's true, yeah. Yeah, but he's saying even in your present condition, that love exists. Even you as an individual, you experience that love, but that's true. But are you going to ask, what does it help? Obviously that love is true, but that's concealed. We're talking about your attempt to arouse it, your attempt to reveal it. The revelation is an illusion. So the Alter Rebbe adds, the fact that the love exists in a concealed fashion, that's absolutely true. However, the benefit derived from its emergence into the open is that the Jew should translate this love into action. That is the benefit we derive by revealing the love. What does it mean, translate into action? This means being occupied in the Torah and in the mitzvahs that one learns and one performs as a result of this love. Which this Torah and mitzvahs that one learns and observes as a result of this love has a unique flavor to it in the sense that it's being done with the intention of causing gratification and pleasure, delight to Hashem, like a son serving his father, like a child serving its father, who does it in order to cause its father gratification. So the Alter Rebbe is saying, What is the purpose of having this love emerge? The purpose of having this love aroused is not just to have an experience of love, but it's rather what this love is going to do to your Torah and mitzvahs. What it's going to do to your behavioral life as a Jew. What it's going to do to the Torah that you're learning and to the mitzvahs that you're observing. When I feel that Hashem is my Father, the Torah and mitzvahs are not just performed technically, the Torah is not just learned intellectually and the mitzvahs performed mechanically and physically, but they are performed in a whole other way. With the intention, with the motivation, with the willingness that I want to fulfill my Father's will because I want to give Him pleasure. That is the purpose, which is an innovation of the Alter Rebbe. He explained this in chapter 40, that tachlis ha'ava hi avoyde me'ava. For the Alter Rebbe, the purpose in love was not love itself. The purpose in love was that the Torah and mitzvahs that come as a result of love will be different. Which is a revolutionary concept in a way. I think this is one of the big ways through which the Alter Rebbe breeded so skillfully, synthesized Kabbalah, Chassidus, and Halacha. Because there was always the friction between, you know, the going off on a mystical trip versus the meticulous observance of nitty-gritty halacha. And the tension that was created as a result of these two elements that seem very distinct and sometimes planets apart. But for the Alter Rebbe, halacha, Torah, and mitzvahs was not so technical. Halacha, Torah, and mitzvahs was an expression of Hashem's intimate quintessence. Torah and mitzvahs was the way in which we restore ourselves and the world back to its natural state, in which it is dissolved in the all-pervading reality of Hashem. And the love that we ought to experience is there in order to spiritualize the Torah and the mitzvahs, in the sense revealing in this world what Torah and mitzvahs are truly are, as explained in the end of the 30s and the beginning of the 40s, which is a different definition of love. It gives the Torah and mitzvahs a different power, a different intensity. And this is really consistent with Alter Rebbe's view of what Torah and mitzvahs, what halacha is. So here, Kabbalah and halacha are totally one. The Kabbalah is the essence of the halacha. But for this, you have to elevate halacha to a whole other dimension. And in that light, the mystical experience per se is not a purpose. That's what he says, the toyelus. The only benefit of having it emerge is that your Torah and mitzvahs are going to be different. And he says, and this Jew who arouses this love, his Torah and mitzvahs are imbued with a new type of passion. Are you going to ask if it's an illusion ultimately? If this love in a revealed fashion is not true, it's not an authentic emotional experience, how could it have an effect on his Torah and mitzvahs? Zogda Alter Rebbe, Val Ze Amru, it's on this that they said, our sages said, in Kiddush and Daf Mem, Machshav Teiva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Metzarif L'Mais. A good thought is joined by Hashem to the deed, Li Yizgatfin L'Parcha K'nisker Le'el, providing it with the wings to soar upwards, as explained earlier in chapter 16. The Alter Rebbe there asked the famous question, if the Gemara just wants to tell us that when you have a good thought, Hashem considers it as though you did it, even though you never ended up doing it, the terminology our sages use is, Maila lav akasav kilu asah, a good thought that the Torah considers as though you have done it. What does it mean? Hashem joins it to deed. A deed didn't happen. And the Alter Rebbe explained that there is a deeper meaning here. If there is a deed, and there is a good thought, but they are detached from each other. So Hashem joins the two forces together. So this is Alter Rebbe says, Al Zeh Amru, it's on this that they said it. The meaning, the connotation of that statement includes this scenario, where the love that I arouse in my heart may be an illusion. It may not be a true emotional experience. It's more a product of my talking about it, of my thinking about it, than I'm really there emotionally. So it goes into the realm of a machshava taiva. It's a good and productive thought, but It's not an emotional, authentic experience. But Hashem joins it to the deed of your Torah and mitzvahs. And since it fuels the Torah and mitzvahs with a new passion, with a new enthusiasm, so the Alter Rebbe said, don't worry if you think it's an illusion. The love innately is authentic, is true, without you doing anything. It's part of your condition.
You took the step. The person has taken
the right. And you took the step. Right. You did what you can. And Hashem will join it with the deed, and that's its ultimate purpose. Right. It's quite fascinating that a man should write a book, right, and tell people, you know, this love exists within you. I can tell you, this love is part of your condition. It's quite a rare phenomenon. He does it throughout the whole Tanya. This pattern, the way of addressing people. This is Emes L'Amita. We'll soon see. Some loves, he says, you know, are not totally innate within you. But this, he says, this is part of who you are. You're not lying. This is not a lie. You know, probe deeply, go through the stratums, and we'll discover it. So therefore, this process is fine. It's not it's not illegitimate, yes?
There's a symptom here that indicates that happens, because the fact that this person desires you.
That's true. Of course, of course. You're saying the fact that the person desires to be here is a symptom of the fact that he's there on some level. Exactly. The fact that there's a conflict, there's a yearning, there's a frustrate, there's a void, it's being fueled by something.
Also, he said, I was not in my mitzvah. He said that my bracha leilo, that a person doesn't do a mitzvah unless he has a love for their mitzvah. So it's not my mitzvah. It's mamash my mitzvah. It's the mamash my mitzvah.
It allows, he said in chapter 38, 39, 40, if the Torah and mitzvahs lishma, in order to do them lishma for the sake of Hashem, you have to love Him. You don't do something for the sake of somebody if you don't care for the person, if you don't have an emotional concern for the person. Yeah. And therefore, it also becomes wings that allows it to soar, as he explained in those chapters. The Alter Rebbe said, it's b'Yerushalayim Avoseinu. It's bequeathed to us from our forefathers. And the particular flavor of it is given to us by Moshe Rabbeinu. Oh, that's what you're asking for. That's a problem. In the beginning of the chapter, he said, these two loves come from our forefathers. Then he says, Moshe Rabbeinu gives it to us. Moshe Rabbeinu is not one of the others. So in one of his, in the footnotes on Tanya, the Rebbe presented the question, or the question was presented to him, and he answered, and he said, the essential love comes from Avraham Avinu, and from the others, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, generally from Avraham. But Moshe Rabbeinu gives it its particular flavor of being like a child who was ready to give everything away to a parent. He gives an example. He says, if a person is extremely intelligent versus not an intelligent person, they both might have certain innate psychological features. They both might have certain emotional innate features, certain types of love. But a person who has a higher level of intelligence, the love will be affected, it will be molded, it will become colored in a certain way. It will be filtered through certain channels. So he says, Moshe Rabbeinu gives us a certain filter that channels, that gives this love a particular feature, a particular color, a particular experience, a particular nature, and that's the love of the child toward the father. That's what he writes. I saw something interesting that perhaps conveys somewhat of the message of the Alter Rebbe here. There is a sefer called Divrei Yecheskel. Was authored by the Shinever Rav, who was a son of the Divrei Chaim, Reb Chaim Tzanzer, one of the famous Hasidic masters of Poland, end of the 19th century. And in Parshas Maase, he quotes a verse in Yirmiyah. Help me out. In the third chapter of Yirmiyah, Jeremiah. Okay. is rebuking the Jewish people, and he says, "Haloi me'ata karasa li'avi aluf nu'urayata," which means in the English, if only from now on you would call me my father.
My God. is that the word? My father, my God.
You are the master of my youth. Yeah. You are the master of my youth. Now, the truth is, the pasuk is written a little bit differently. The pasuk is written, Hale me'ata karasi li avi, aluf nu'urayata, which literally translated would be, if only from now I would call me my father, you are the master of my youth. But that's the ksiv, that's the way it was written. The kri, the way we read it, in order it should make sense, is Hale me'ata karasa li avi, if only from now you would start calling me Hashem my father, if only you, the Jewish people, would start calling me my father. You are the master of my youth, which means you are the dream of my youth. You are the one I always wanted to have a relationship, Hashem says. So the Divri Yecheskel asks, every word obviously is meticulous in the Tanakh. Why is it that it was written in such an enigmatic fashion? The Ksiv apparently is totally senseless. If only I would call myself my father. It's you, the Jews. So this is what he says. He explains it with a story. He says that the great Hasidic master was a very close friend of the Alter Rebbe. The Rebbe, Rebbe Elimelech of Lizhensk, once said that a visit to the holy Reb Pinchas Karitzer is something that can give you Yerushalayim. It can imbue you with fear of heaven. Reb Elimelech's son, his name was Reb Eliezer, he heard this, he got up, he left this town, and he went to Karitz, to Reb Pinchas Karitzer. Reb Pinchas Karitzer was one of the great disciples of the Baal Shem Tov. He was a unique person. And he was known for his very deep sensitivity to truth. And he was very extreme. And he was very tough on himself and very tough on others. And therefore he was somewhat isolated. It was very difficult to become a student of his, to become a disciple of his, because he was extremely tough and his standards were very high. He was impeccable. He could not tolerate any flaw. I mean, the slightest nuance of falsehood, he was repulsed by. He once visited the Maggid of Mizrich, and he says, you know, why is it that you became the successor of the Baal Shem Tov, and you attracted you attracted thousands of students? The Maggid says, you know, in the Torah portions of Bamidbar, we have Shlach, Kairach, Chukas Balak, Pinchas Matas Masai. He said, there's something unfair going on. Chukas Balak are usually read together. They join forces, Chukas and Balak. Matas and Masai also join forces very often. Pinchas, you know, is there right in the middle and always remains isolated. He says, because Pinchas was a kanoi. Pinchas was a zealot. Pinchas was a man who embodied a deeper truth than Chukas, certainly than Balak, Matas, Masai. And therefore, you know, Pinchas remains aloof. Pinchas remains unique. So, Reb Eliezer of Lizhensk went to visit the Pinchas Karitzer. Now, this story will actually project, it will display this feature of his. He was sitting at the table of Reb Pinchas, I think it was Shabbos. And Reb Eliezer of Lizhensk, the son of Reb Melech, was himself a holy Jew. So, middle of the meal, you know, he gives a sign, and he says, "I tata tata," referring to Hashem, you know, "Father, Father." So Reb Pinchas turns to him, and paraphrasing a line of Gemara, he says, "V'dilma lav avivu." Maybe he's not your father. you decided he's your father, right? Which is what the Alter Rebbe is asking. V'dilma lav avivu. He's not your father. He was very devastated. Because he thought it was genuine. And then Reb Pinchas was like, "V'dilma lav avivu." He comes home to his father, Reb Melech, who was of a different nature. And he tells him the story. So he says, "What did you answer?" He says, "I answered nothing." Zakr Reb Melech, you know what you should have answered him? The Pasuk says, "Sha'al avicha men leitzich atata." The Pasuk says, "Sha'al avicha v'yageitcha," ask your father and he will tell you. Reb Melech translated, "Sha'al avicha," borrow your father. He may not be your father, but you can borrow your father. You can borrow Hashem as a father. Zogad de Divrei Yecheskel, this is the meaning in the Pasuk. Haloi me'ata karasi li avi. There is sometimes a Jew who can call Hashem my father. There's sometimes that type of Jew who can actually call Hashem my father. But then there's a Jew who can't call Hashem his father. So to him Hashem says, Haloi me'ata karasi li avi. Since I am indeed your father, so I give you the power from above to call me your father. Maybe on your own, in your own emotional and feelings, you don't feel that experience. There is a level where I am my own. That's how we read it. Alemiyata karasa liyavi. You know, if only from now you would call me my father. But then there is a level where Hashem has to do the calling. You can't do the calling. It's Hashem doing the calling. If only from now on I would call me my father. From above, Hashem calls, Hashem does the calling, and that imbues the Jew with that energy. And that allows you to reach that level where you were, you used to be the master of my youth. Right. Okay. And so in other words, and this is in a sense what Alter Rebbe is saying here. What Alter Rebbe is saying is that even if emotionally I'm not in that state emotionally, but Hashem calls him my father. Hashem calls himself my father for me. He imbued that relationship in the depth of my soul. And that's true irrelevant of my work. So when I bring it out of my mind and I bring it out of my heart, it's joined with my deed. Hashem joins it with my deed. And therefore the Torah and mitzvahs, machshava tova kodesh baruch hu mitzarif olamayza, the Torah and mitzvahs that are imbued with a unique flavor, with a unique color, because Hashem takes